any sin, any barrier in your heart today. That would be the way. Well, just do that right now. And Father, thank you for the assurance that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all things. That when we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us for all our sins. So God, we receive your forgiveness, but God, we also want to receive what you have for us today. So God, wake us up. God, help us to hear from you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I don't know if you heard about this or not. Here we are, we're right at the tail end of February. And so this would have been literally just a couple of weeks ago. This was at the beginning of 2024. Actually, I guess closer to the end of 2023, the last week of December, first week of January. I hope you heard about this before. It's a true story. Earlier this year, just a couple weeks ago, like I said, there's a major U.S. city that became the very first city in the United States that their tourism department took an initiative to try to contact aliens and invite those aliens to visit their city to enhance tourism. It's a true story. Let's just play a game. Anybody, just take it. Let's just hear some guesses. What U.S. city do you think spent taxpayer dollars to have a tourism initiative to invite aliens to come? So just yell out some cities. Give me some. Go ahead. New York? Los Angeles? We've already heard the right answer. The right answer is Lexington, Kentucky. Yeah, this is on their website. Yeah, this is it. This is it. Early in January, a group of scientists went to the Kentucky Horse Park. This happened. This happened in the world we live in. All right? A group of scientists went to the Kentucky Horse Park. They beamed an infrared laser with an encoded message built into the laser, and they're inviting aliens to come to Lexington. You can go to the Lexington Tourism website. There's a section on it. There's right there for the aliens, just in case the aliens are looking at the Lexington website. And that message, that laser, had a message encoded into it. This is the first part of the message that says to the aliens, the first thing you'll notice as you descend through Earth's atmosphere above central Kentucky is the lush green countryside that surrounds Lexington's vibrant city center. That's our famous bluegrass. Then they take a couple more senses. They invite the aliens to the mall. Because why would you not go to Lexington without going to the mall? And they tell them about some other things and that sort of thing. But this is an initiative to try to get people from another world, beings from another world, to come down to this world so that we can have an encounter with them. Here's the problem, though. They estimate it's going to take about 40 years for that message to get to the destination. And if anybody receives it, it could take another 40 years for whatever they seem to do to get back to us. Now, we laugh at that. We think that's kind of crazy. But we have always been fascinated with messages from another world. And if you sit there and think, well, this sounds cuckoo for cuckoo flex, the idea of a message coming from another world, we need to know that we are about to open a book that we believe has come to us from God. So we don't have to wonder what it's like to get a message from another world. We don't have to wonder what it's like to get a message from a being that is radically different from us, because we already have it. And it's called the Scriptures. It's called the Bible. And so every week in this series, we're talking about different practices to help us know and follow Jesus. Last week, we talked about prayer. And today, we're talking about the practice of Scripture. Let me ask you a question this morning. Don't answer this out loud, but I really want you to think about this. It's going to help us get to where we're going this morning. Here's a question. When was the last time you heard the voice of God? When was the last time you, personally, as an individual, heard God speak to you? Maybe reassure you, maybe remind you of his promises. When's the last time you heard God speak right into a situation that you were going through? What I want to do this morning, because a lot of people get this question, and I think in the church, we've so elevated this idea God speaking to us, that we think this is only for really holy people. This is only for people who are radically different from us, is what we think. Here's what I want to do this morning. What I want to try to do over the next couple of minutes is really demystify what it means to hear God speak to you, and try to get as practical as we possibly can on how to do it. All right?
So if you've got a Bible, I want you to open it up to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This is probably one of the most popular set of verses in the scriptures about the scriptures. Okay? So 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17, simply says this. I think it's on the screen, but it's not there. It's right there. There it is. We got it on the screen. This is Paul to Timothy. Timothy is Paul's disciple. Paul's been pouring himself into mentoring Timothy. And he says this. He says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here's what I want to do this morning. I want to say two things about the scriptures, and then try to get as practical as I possibly can and say, how can we hear the voice of God? Okay? All right, so first thing we need to say about the scriptures is from right out of Paul's words to Timothy. First thing you've got to know about the Bible on your phone, if you were using an app, or on your lap, if you've got a copy of the Bible. First thing we want to say this morning is that God has spoken. God has spoken. That's exactly what Paul means when he uses the phrase that all scripture is, and if you've got the Bible, you can see it. God breathed. That God breathed the words of scripture, that he spoke the words of scripture. This is a radical idea, that every single word in your Bible was written by people but originated with God. That God breathed the scriptures. That people didn't make up the Bible. That the Bible was inspired by God. And so what's in your lap or on your phone this morning is God's word to you on a page. Now, here's the deal. As I'm just scanning the crowd, I see a couple of faces that I've never seen before. And so maybe you're thinking, Mark, that's a stretch for me. Okay, but Mark, I think the Bible's probably a good book. I've got some respect for it. But the idea that God wrote or spoke every single word, that this is God's word on a page, Mark, that's a stretch for me. And I want to say to you, if that's what you're thinking, I get it. I didn't always believe that the Bible is the word of God. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 18. And even after that, it was a process of, man, what is the Bible? How did the Bible come together? Why do we have these particular 66 books? And I don't have time to answer all those questions this morning. If you've got questions like that, I want you to know, man, this is a safe church to ask those questions. I'd love to have a conversation with you about it, get one started in the lobby. But what I want to say to us this morning is just to believe that the Bible is the Word of God does not mean that we have to check our brains at the door. Stop being intellectual thinking individuals. There's evidence for us to believe that the Bible is what we say it is. But here's the deal. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. God has not left us to figure him out on our own. God hasn't left himself for you and me to figure out who he is on our own. See, this is really important. I don't know if you're keeping with me this morning. This is really important because you live in a world where it's really popular saying, I believe God's like this. And then somebody else can come along and say, well, I believe God is like that. And because if we're sincere in our beliefs and we live in a world that says the authority over our lives are our own emotions, hearts, what we feel, if God's like this for me, then we live in a world that says that's what God's like. And if God's like this for you, we live in a world that says, well, that's what God must be like. God comes along and says, no, this is what I'm like. That God has not, Summit, left himself up for you and me to figure out based on our own thoughts and feelings. Here's this. God has told us who he is. And God has always done this. Think back to the book of Exodus. Moses encounters God in the burning bush. Moses asks God, God, who are you? And God answers the question. Jesus comes along, and Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus tells us what the Holy Spirit will do. He tells us the names of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is like. So he hasn't left it up to how we feel to determine who God is. You're taking notes, you can write this down. God is God, and God can speak to us however he wants. But the main way that we will hear God's voice is in the pages of this book, the Bible. Hello? Here's the deal. God can speak to you in a lot of different ways. When we talked about this in series in the past, God can speak to you in creation. God can speak to us in dreams and visions. Hello? God can speak to us. There is a spiritual gift, the gift of prophecy. God can speak to you through other believers. Other believers can give you words from the Lord. You can give a word from the Lord to another believer. That's a real spiritual gift that Paul says all of us, by the way, ought to desire. But here's the deal. None of those things will ever go against, contradict, or override the revealed Word of God. And what God has revealed in Scripture is the main revelation that God has given of Himself. If you're with me, say, uh-huh. Right? See, if you need some caffeine, there's some in the lobby. Just go get some. All right? Let me show you an amazing thing here. This is amazing. I think these verses are going to be on the screen. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, it's long, but I think this is worth it, okay? Hang with me here. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at this with me here, and then I want to break it down in the middle so we can really understand what's going on here. Look at what Peter says. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. That means we saw Jesus with our own eyes. We saw stuff. Man, we saw healed people, raised people from the dead, all of these things. And one of the things that Peter saw Jesus do, he's about to talk about, is an event in your Bible called the Transfiguration. Look at what he says here. Let's be brief. Verse 17. Peter saying, man, I saw this one day. I saw Jesus receive honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Stop right there. So if you know this story, this is in your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on top of a hill, and the gospel authors say that in a moment, Jesus all of a sudden just started to kind of glow. His clothes started to glow, his skin started to glow, and it was like glory from heaven started to shine through the body of Jesus. What's happening in this moment, Peter, James, and John are looking at Jesus the way that I'm looking at you, and they are seeing Jesus reveal himself that he's God. They're not hearing him say it. They're seeing it. Oh my gosh, this is an event where Jesus is showing himself to be God. And then to back it up, all of a sudden Moses appears and the prophet Elijah appears to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the law and all the prophets in the Old Testament. This is an amazing experience, would you say? If you were on top of a mountain and all of a sudden Jesus, Moses, and Elijah showed up, odds are high at least one of y'all is going to put it on Instagram. Right? Somebody's going to tweet about it. A lot of us, and I'm going to put myself in this frame, a lot of us might even base the rest of our faith on that experience. Man, I know that God is real because I was up on a mountain one day and Jesus showed up and said, Moses and Elijah. Wow. Okay, get that in your mind. Now look what it says. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. What is the prophetic message? Peter means the Old Testament and the writings so far for him of the Apostle Paul. The New Testament's not put together yet. We've got the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it. As to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Okay, watch. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And here's what happens. Peter is saying, hey man, we saw the transfiguration, but do you know what is a more sure thing than seeing the transfiguration? He says in verse 19, the prophetic message of the Scriptures. He says, listen, the Scriptures are more reliable than what I experienced right on top of that mountain. Here's this, if you're thinking of trying to say, what God says in the Bible is more certain than my own experience. Amen? Now, some of you all don't believe this because we think experience is the ultimate authority. Have you ever been through something and your heart told you something? Maybe you followed your heart into a certain situation, realized your heart led you in the wrong direction. Anybody? Right? You ever been through something and then tried to remember it years later and the details started getting fuzzier and fuzzier? Here's the thing. Experience is never a good thing to base our ultimate hopes and feelings on. What God says in the Bible is more certain than my own experience. No experience anyone ever says they have will go against the Word of God. But Peter comes along right here on the screen. Peter says, if I want to know that I can hear from God beyond a shadow of a doubt, so that it's in the pages of this book. So all Scripture is written by God. Here's the thing. Even the parts that we don't understand, even the parts that make us uncomfortable, even the parts that are so radical, it means we're going to have to change our lives. All Scripture is from God. Here's this. Wayne Grudem, theologian, says this. All the words of Scripture are God's words in such a way that to disbelieve or disobey any word of Scripture is to disbelieve or disobey God. So don't miss this. What's on the pages of the Bible on your phone or the Bible on your lap, what's on those pages is the Word of God, voice of God on a page. Number one, God has spoken. Second thing we need to see is God is speaking right now. Not like God said stuff a long time ago, then he stopped because he ran out of things to say. God is speaking this morning. Go to the next slide here, because this is everything Paul says to Timothy. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for a couple of things. Look here on the screen. He says that Scripture is useful for teaching. What that means is the Bible can show us things we didn't know. The Bible can show us things we didn't know about God, about His Son, about the Spirit. Hey, here's the deal. The Bible can show us things we didn't know about ourselves. Amen? But what else it can do? It can rebuke us. It can correct us. Here's a question. When was the last time God told you you were wrong? Here's a better question. Can God tell you you're wrong? No, I don't mean like in a theological sense. Of course he can. He's God. No, man. I'm saying that if you have enough view of yourself and who God is, that if God comes to you and says, you are wrong, your response isn't going to be up out of your chest and say, who says? But instead, your response is to get on your knees and say, have mercy on me. Right? The Bible can correct us. What that means is that there are places in me that are off. And that by the mercy of God, God might reveal it to me in the pages of Scripture so that I can bring myself in conformity with who He says He is and what His will is for our lives. Look here, here's the purpose of Scripture. It's to train us in righteousness so that we would be equipped for every good work. So here's this. If the Word of God can bring creation into existence, then the Word of God can correct what's broken in my life. And don't hear this. Look at me. This is a big deal what I'm about to say. Don't hear this and interpret that as I'm saying that if you read the Bible in 24 hours, all your problems go away. Some people use the Bible that way. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, well, I'm depressed. Oh, okay, well, read this Bible verse and call me in the morning. Like, this is some kind of drug or some kind of pill or something like that. The Bible doesn't work that way. Amen? The Bible is not some quick fix solution where we just go to it and then all of a sudden our problems go away. But what can happen, Summit, as we read the Bible and we open our lives to the Spirit, the Word of God, watch this, has the power to renew our minds so that attitudes, thought patterns, and wrong beliefs are transformed, and as our minds are changed, we're changed. Does that make sense? So the Bible is not, try this and call me in the morning. The Bible is that over time, by the power of the Spirit, I open my heart, my mind is renewed. And as our minds are changed, our hearts are changed, and ultimately, we're changed. That's what the voice of God does in our lives. The voice of God is not there to tear us down. The voice of God is there to equip us for every good work. So here's this. There's nothing more relevant, more practical that I need, that we need, more than God speaking into our lives from the pages of Scripture. In fact, the Bible says this over and over. Look at this. How valuable is the Bible in your life? Well, I just put together a couple of verses to show us. Go to the next slide here if we can. Check this out. Psalm 119, verse 72 says, your instructions are more valuable to me than millions of gold and silver. Hello. Psalm 1 says that a person who is rooted in scripture, meaning that we're in it and it's getting into us, our minds are being renewed, that person will be like a tree that no matter what blows against that tree, they'll flourish in any season. Matthew 7:24, this was our verse from last week. Everyone who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and nothing ultimately will take that house out. And 1 Peter 2:1, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may, I love this, grow up in your salvation. So here's the deal. One of the most important rhythms that we can build into our lives is hearing the voice of God. And the primary way that we hear the voice of God is hearing the Bible. So how can we build this into our lives? Okay, let's get real practical right now. We're almost done. How can we build this practice into our lives? Some of what I'm about to say, a lot of us are already doing. If you are already doing this, I just want to encourage you, keep going, all right? But if this is new for you, you struggle with this, maybe you kind of have fits and starts, hey man, I'm going to do it. If something happens and you don't, you know, or whatever, I just want to get as practical as I possibly can. How can you and I, no matter how busy you are, no matter how young or old you might be, how can we build into our lives this practice of, I want to hear God speak to me. I want to hear the voice of God. Okay? And before we get really practical, remember, we said this last week, we're saying it about scripture today. Remember, reading the Bible does not make God love us. God already loves us. Somebody say amen. And, right? We're not reading the Bible to get on God's good side. We're not reading the Bible to get God to notice us. God, we were seen by God before we woke up this morning. Amen? So it's not only I've got to read the Bible because if not, God's mad. That's not what we're doing. I've got to read the Bible because I feel guilty if I don't. So then ultimately we'll read it to remove our own guilt. No, we want to get into the Bible so that we can hear God speak to us. Why? Because God is a good God who loves us, and we need his voice to be louder than any other voice in our lives. Amen? So how do we get real practical? Here's this. Three couple things. Folks, get very practical, then we're done. Here's this one. Intentionally pick a place and time to listen to God speak to you from Scripture. Intentionally pick a place and time to listen to God speak to you from Scripture. Now, we need to intentionally pick a place here. That place can be your house. That place can be your car. It can be your office. It can be at school. It can be whatever works for you. But it's a place where we're going because we want to go there to meet with God. Okay, so I'll just give this for me. For me, this happens in the morning. Now, I am a morning person. I get up really early, and I love coffee, and so it's me, Jesus, and coffee in the morning. If you are not a morning person, do not say, well, I've got to start getting up really early so I can read the Bible. And then you just get up really early, and then you go back to bed with your Bible in your lap. Okay? Just know yourself. Maybe for some of you, this is better at lunch. Maybe for some of you, this is better at night. But intentionally pick a place and time, and you're going to go there to hear God speak to you. Now, why do you need to pick a place and a time? Because you have a spiritual enemy that is going to do everything he can to keep you from building this habit in your life. Amen? You've got a spiritual enemy who's going to try to discourage you, distract you, do everything he can to get you away from the Scriptures. So intentionally pick a place. This is where I'm going to do it. This is the chair. And I go to this chair at this time. Or I sit in my car for an extra 2 or 3 minutes before I go into school, before I go into work. Intentionally pick a place and intentionally pick a time. And it's right there. I am going to meet with God. Some of you, I know a ton of people who do this. They have it on their phone, in their calendar, and their phone sends them a notification same time every single day, and they'll just look at people and they'll say, I gotta go, I gotta leave. And really what they're gonna do, they're gonna go read their Bible. And so if you need to do that, there's no shame. But intentionally pick a place and time to listen to God speak to you from Scripture. Now from there, here's this. Go to that place ready to listen and do whatever he tells you. That's a big deal. Go to that chair, go to that place in your car, go to that chair in your office, whatever it is, ready to listen to God and do whatever he tells you to do. Remember, here's the deal. You are doing this to meet with a person. God is a person, amen? You're doing this to go and meet with a person. So when you go to this place at that time, first thing, then just sit down in that place and breathe out, breathe in, take a step back, and here's the deal. Ask God to speak to you. Don't miss this part. Literally pray this prayer every single time. God, I want to hear your voice today. God, will you speak to me today? And what happens in that moment is you are opening up your heart to the Spirit of God to begin to speak to you. And here's the deal. This is transformation. Okay? The difference between hearing Scripture and doing it is applying it to our lives. So I'm not going to the Bible to learn more. I'm not going to the Bible just to know what the Bible says. I'm going to the Bible to meet with a person. I want to hear God speak to me. And based on whatever he says, I'm going to do it. James 1:22 says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So asking God to speak to you, open up the Scriptures, and look at a word, look at a phrase, look at a sentence that might jump out to you. Then I'm a big journal person. Maybe you want to keep a journal open. Maybe you want to keep the notes out. Open on your phone. Write down what God is saying to you. Write down what God is revealing to you in the Bible. And so maybe God gives you something to believe when you're reading the Bible tomorrow. Ask God to help you to believe it. Maybe you're reading the Sermon on the Mount and God really begins to speak to you about praying for your enemies. And you're not ready to do that yet, maybe because you've got a lot of wounds. And so maybe you just need to say, God, help me to even get to the place where I would pray for my enemies. Maybe God gives you a name of somebody. You read Matthew 28, the Great Commissioner, how the world needs the gospel, and God gives you a face and a name of somebody that you don't love, and they don't know Jesus, and you need to start praying for them. You need to start praying for that person to get saved. Go there to that place at that time, ready to hear from God, and with a heart that's open for whatever he tells you to do, that you are ready to respond with obedience. And this might be the most important thing we say all morning. Here it is. And when it gets hard, and it will, dry, and it will, or you miss a few days, and you will, don't do it. I love this verse right here. I love this verse, Galatians 6:8-9. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not. Every single time you open the Word of God, you are sowing to the Spirit. And can I just tell you, you may see no benefit of it immediately. You may see no, you might start this week, and you might see no immediate benefit this week. But I'm telling you, over time, if you continue faithfully to show up to the Word of God, what you unknowingly have done, and what the Spirit was doing at the exact same time, the Spirit is stockpiling those Scriptures in your heart, so that one day when the storms of life do hit, all of a sudden then you've got tears in your eyes and hope in your heart, and you're like, man, how in the world do I still have this hope? And here's why. Because you've been sowing to the Spirit. And the Spirit can use that word that you've been stockpiling up in your life. Listen, so don't interpret dry seasons with God as if he's left you or you're a failure. Let the hunger for more of God drive you to God. So I just want to challenge you. If you are already doing this, keep it up. But if you're not doing this, man, I want to challenge you to start this week. And I want to challenge you to start where you are. Maybe get one day this week. And you're going to open up the Bible. You're going to download the Bible app on your phone. You're going to start reading the Bible. Maybe a couple sentences a day, a paragraph a day. Maybe a chapter a day. You're already doing one day, maybe 2 days, or maybe 3 days. Start where you are and build up from there. I think the wrong thing to do from a sermon like this is some of us will say, oh my gosh, man, I'm so fired up. I'm going to start reading the Bible. And like, you're going to read 20 chapters a day. And Genesis and Exodus are real cool. And Leviticus is going to hit you like a ton of bricks. You're going to be like, what in the world is this thing? And you're like, I'm done. This is too weird. Right? So just start where you are. Maybe you want to start in the book of Psalms. Maybe you want to start in one of the Gospels. Maybe you want to start, my favorite book of the Bible is the book of Ephesians. 6 chapters in there. Start reading 1 chapter a day. Start tomorrow. You can do this. But just start where you are. Go there and hear from God. Here's this. The reason we need the rhythm of Scripture is because the loudest voice in our lives needs to be the voice of God. We're done. But listen, as soon as we say amen, in just a minute,
We're going out into a world that is filled with voices. Voices of distraction, voices of deception, voices of condemnation. And what we need more than anything is we need God telling us that He is with us when the world feels like everyone is with us. We need God telling us that He's in control when it feels like everything is falling apart. We need God to shape our identity. So I just want to ask a question this morning. It's the same question that we asked at the beginning. When was the last time you heard God speak? Because the good news is that God is available and ready to speak to all of us. Pray with me today. Father, we just come to you right now. And thank you for the gift of the Bible. And God, we don't worship the Bible. We worship you. We worship you, the Son, Jesus. We worship the Holy Spirit. We don't worship the Scriptures. But God, what a gift the Bible is. And God, I think because we're just surrounded by Bibles, we've got such easy access to the Bibles. It's all over our phones. We've got tons of them at home. God, we can take for granted that we really do have a message from another world. From you to us. That's meant to give us life. That's meant to heal. That's meant to shape our minds. That's meant to shape our identities. And so God, I pray that beginning this week, you would help all of us to take intentional steps to turn the volume up on your voice. God, that we would take intentional steps this week to make your voice the loudest voice in our lives. And so I just want to ask you this morning, in this moment of response, and here's the deal, we've got prayer counselors that are open right now, maybe you can pray this morning, why don't you come? Maybe you're walking through something this morning and you feel alone, and you feel like the world's falling apart, and you just need somebody to remind you of the voice of God and the promises of God. Just pray over you and encourage you this morning. Listen, this altar is open. Our prayer counselors are up there. If you need prayer for anything, whether you talk about it or not, we want to know that you're invited as well. We would love to pray over you this morning. But I want to ask you this morning in the time of response that we're in right now. What is the biggest voice in your life? Don't check out my reading in this. Answer right now. Just think about this. Maybe answer it for yourself. What is the biggest voice in your life right now? For some of us, maybe the biggest voice in our life is a person that we're trying to impress, we're trying to get to notice us. Maybe it's our spouse, our kids, our boss. Maybe it's somebody from our past. They're not even in our lives, and what they said still rings today. For some of us, the biggest voice in our lives are our emotions. We're just driven by our emotions. The voice of fear is so loud. Biggest voice, maybe bitterness, anger. For others of us, maybe the biggest voice in our lives is social media. Maybe it's cable news. What is the biggest voice in your life today? And is there anyone here, and I'm not even asking you to raise your hand for this, is there anyone here who would just in your heart say, I need to hear? And if your heart reaches through for that, why don't you just say that to him? Say, God, I need to hear your voice. God, I need to hear your voice. Just say that to him. God, I need to hear your voice. I know some of you in the room this morning, you need to hear the voice of God about a very particular situation. But if you're here and your heart just goes drawn into that, I need to hear the voice of God. Receive that as an invitation from the Holy Spirit that He is inviting you to follow Him. In the making this practice of Scripture a reality in our lives. And so God, I pray that as we leave here in just a minute, what we all walk away with is not simply, well, at church today we talk about how we need to read our Bible. That's not it. I pray that as we leave in just a minute, we would all have to leave with the realization that there is a voice. It is truer than every other voice that the world would give us. And it is the voice that we were made to hear. And Jesus, that is your voice. And so, Jesus, I praise you that you have spoken, but God, I praise you that you are the God that just continues to speak today. And Father, I pray that you would build within us a hunger and a desire to hear that voice and to do what it says. God, that we would be a people that love you and love your word, because God, your word guides us, and the scriptures are a place of encounter. And so God, I pray for all of us, wherever those places are in our lives where we need to hear your voice. God, I pray that beginning this week, there would be testimonies rise up in this church of people who are beginning to hear your voice, speak to them in new ways that they have never experienced. They're hearing your voice in ways they never thought it could happen. Or they're seeing your word heal them in a way that they never really thought would happen for them. Or they're seeing change in their lives because the word of God is renewing their mind. God, let testimonies just start rising up from this house like that this week. And God, when it does, we just want to give you right now, before it even happens, all the glory and the praise for it. And Father, right now, as we move into a time of receiving our offering of giving, Father, I pray that what's given here would go to transforming lives here around the world. And God, I pray that this time of giving would be a response from our hearts. God, it's still a time of response. We're still responding to you to say, God, here's my life. And so, Jesus, I pray that right now, as we move into this time, whether people give here, whether they give online, God, I pray that you would meet with them in such a real way that, God, it would begin just to transform their treasure, transform where their heart is, that, God, we would put our treasure in the kingdom of God and less in the kingdoms of this world. Father, we love you, but, God, we thank you that we love you because you love us first. Bless God, us in the strong and beautiful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, right now we're going to receive our offering. And so those of you who've been asked to help us receive that, you can get in place. And you can make any preparations that you need to give. And you can give here. You can give online. And as you give, you know, one of the things I want to say to us and highlight this morning is that tonight at 6 o'clock, our student ministry is meeting. And our student ministry, man, Roger Combs leads that. And I see Hannah's here. Zach's here. They put so much work into our student ministry. And then they just got a heart to see teenagers, middle and high school students, grow up to be men and women of God. And your giving makes things like our student ministry possible. You are investing in the next generation when you give. Every time it happens. Every time it happens. And so whether you give here, whether you give online, I want to thank you for giving. And as these baskets are going around, you can drop your connection cards in there. Let us know what God is doing in your life, any decision that you made. Maybe you want to get baptized. You want to serve. If you miss these baskets, bring your connection cards to the web barrier. We'd love to get those. And we've already prayed for our offering, so you guys can go ahead and begin to receive that. And as they're doing that, let me mention a couple things to you. Hey, this Wednesday night, February 21st at 6 o'clock, I don't know if you saw this online, but ARH approached us a couple months back about later on in towards back in 2023. They were looking for a place to host a series of events that talked about physical health and spiritual well-being. And they will ask if they could host those here. And so ARH is hosting a series of events right here at our church all year long. They do one or two a quarter. And there's one coming up this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. There's doctors who lead it, local professionals who lead it, people from our church are in here. They have a meal. It's at 6 o'clock. Everybody in the community is invited. It's totally free. Hey, on the screen right now, you can see extravaganzas coming up. And so what that means is we're going to start talking about Easter eggs a lot. All right, so just make preparations for that. Hey, one more thing tonight at 6, along with students that I mentioned, is Equip. Equip is a great time to meet new people, grow in your faith, and start with a meal, and all of you are invited. Come and check it out tonight at 6 o'clock, all right? Hey, listen, you guys, God bless you. Love you. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming.
Come on.